head strength and conditioning coach for BYU men's basketball. Bob, you're a busy man, and it's Friday night, and you have your soulmate here, Leanne. I appreciate you coming in just to spend some time with us.
Hey, we're excited. We're just up the hill in Lehigh, and it was a nice little drive down for us, so we're excited to be here.
You went and got some Mexican food.
We did.
Yeah? Well,
it's date night tonight.
Date night, and you guys look great. You're in your Sunday best, like you should be on a date night. Jan's in his date night uniform, too, because he's got a special someone in the studio. This is nice.
Dude, the apple of my eye is in the studio.
She
right
is
now.
An apple. She is an apple.
But, Ben, I'm looking here. Bob, I'm looking at your credentials right now. And
I'm wondering how you are at BYU with the credentials.
I really am. And we could sit here and do a whole show with you. I can't. We need to just do a whole show.
A whole show. We'd like you to co-host one of these days,
where you have been. You were the Seattle Supersonics in their glory years. Throughout their glory years. You were with the UNLV basketball team in their glory years.
Yeah, we won a few games there.
The one national championship, 3 Final Four appearances, six conference championships.
A couple of the best teams ever to play college basketball, right?
You know, I tell you, I've been really fortunate. You know, I consider myself a young coach. I've been able to coach in Little League. I've coached in high school. I've coached in college and, you know, coached 21 years at the pro level. And, you know, now I'm fortunate enough to be back coaching in college. I always kind of saw my career going, you know, back the other way. And, you know, I'm really excited to be here. Great kids. You know, of all the places I've been, this is by far the best kids I've been able to work with.
So you came on in 2013. So you've been here officially how long?
I just finished up my second year.
Finished up the second year. You've served your mission here at BYU. You're going to leave us now?
I did.
You're going to go back to the NBA, aren't you? You're going back to the NBA. You're leaving us, Bob.
You know, one thing I told Coach Rose when I sat down and talked to the staff almost 2 years ago, you know, I've had 3 jobs in 27 years. I don't jump from job to job.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to be somewhere, I'm going to be somewhere.
Why did you make the jump from the NBA back to college basketball, and specifically BYU?
Well, actually, I'm from Utah, and so I grew up here. My family's here. You know, our children are here. You know, it's been a great, great transition for us, and I was just looking for the right place for us. You know, we sat down and looked at our schedule. You know, in an NBA season, you don't really look at what happens throughout the whole year. I would be gone almost 200 days a year.
Wow.
Because I travel with the team, and then I would be at summer league. I would be at pre-draft workouts. I'd be at different camps and clinics. I would travel in the summertime and work out all of our players because they wouldn't stay in Portland or Seattle. So, like, for example, LaMarcus Aldridge lives in Dallas, so I would go spend time in Dallas. You know, Wesley Matthews lives in, you know, Wisconsin.
He should be in Utah.
It's a sore spot for all Utah Jazz fans.
It's a sore spot for me, specifically. Anyways,
so I was gone all the time. And we really started to look at, you know, our quality of life and what we really want to do the next 10 years. And this was just a great fit. You know, when I met with Coach Rose, these guys, Coach Rose and the staff, were unbelievable. You know, they really made this thing happen. And there were other NBA opportunities. There were other opportunities in private practice, but you know, I've always felt that wherever I went, whether it was from UNLV to Seattle, from Seattle to Portland, I always felt that God's hands were in it, and I really feel that this is where He wants us to be. I really do, and it's been a great, great situation. Great players, great coaches. They're fun to coach, and it's been probably the funnest time I've had coaching.
What have you tried to bring to this NBA, not this NBA team, this call to BYU from the NBA, from all of your experience? What did you really kind of come and try to bring them that they didn't have before?
One thing I told our players when I first met with them is that I'm going to treat you guys and train you guys like professional players. So we're going to do everything that pros do. You know, if you want to get to that next level, you've got to train that way. And I'm going to treat you that way and train you that way. And these guys have been unbelievable. You know, for me, being a strength and conditioning coach, it's not about making them into a better weightlifter or power lifter or football player or wrestler. It's about making you into a better basketball player. So everything we do is about helping them to become a better basketball player. And they really bought into that. You know, they love it. They love the things that we're doing. And, you know, I think it's paid great dividends for them. You know, they feel their athleticism is better. They feel that they're healthier. You know, I hear players at the end of the season, like Kyle and Chase and Tyler, saying, hey, I feel like I could have played another month. And so for me, that makes me feel that we're on the right track. We're doing the right things. And they're excited about their bodies. They're excited about how they feel. And I feel that it's just going to continue to get better here.
Talk to me about Kyle Collinsworth, Mr. Triple-Double. You were heavily involved in his rehabilitation, getting back up to 100%. Obviously, I don't want to take anything away from his work ethic, but you need a counselor, you need a mentor, you need that coach to tell you, hey, you're looking like you have some deficiencies here. Let's do some of these lifts. Let's do some of these exercises. What allowed him to do what he did this year?
You know, Kyle's been amazing. You know, I've been fortunate enough to have been through a lot of ACL tears. You know, in a time in the NBA, you know, you see those a lot. And one thing I learned there, when those NBA guys get hurt, you live with them. Wherever they are, you go and you spend time
with
them.
You're baby-stepping them.
Yeah. And there were times like with, you know, Bonzi Wells, for example, or Zach Randolph when he had his microfracture surgery. I'm with those guys every single day. And so, you know, with Kyle, I was with them every single day. You know, we would probably spend, you know, 4 or 5 hours a day together. Now, obviously, we're not lifting weights the whole time, but, you know, we made a plan on what he was going to do every day. And one thing about Kyle, you know, from the moment he went in to get his surgery, you know, he was totally on board with what we were doing. You know, he changed his diet. And again, the credit doesn't go to me. It goes to the kid. You know, what he did was unbelievable, even for a pro guy. He just adjusted everything, his diet, his routine, everything. And, you know, one thing I told him, too, is you need to – this isn't just something you do until you get better. This is something you need to do the rest of your career. And so if you see him on a game day, his routine, the things that he goes through to get ready for a game, it's amazing. You know, you'll see him on the court before the game. If you ever get a chance, watch what he does in pregame because it's a whole routine that he goes through.
And well, is it unique to him?
It's unique to him. It's something he's never done before. And I think the biggest thing is he believes in it. He believes that it's helping him, and he believes that he's explosive. He believes that he's, you know, playing the best he's ever played. So for me, again, the credit doesn't go to me. It goes to him because he puts in all the work. The guy spends, you know, a couple hours a night with his meal prep. He doesn't take anything in chance. He brings his own meals in every day, puts them in the fridge, and, you know, that's what he eats every day. He's got a routine that he sticks to every day. We're in the pool, we're in the weight room, all these things.
Bob Medina, head strength and conditioning coach, on with us here at Cougar Sports ESPN 960.
I actually love hearing that about him doing his meal prep. I think it gets lost in college how important nutrition is going alongside the working out.
What do you mean? Top Ramen is plenty good for all of us.
If I could have done it all over, that's the one thing I would change.
Top Ramen should be the official sponsor of the NCAA.
And I tell you what, it's amazing even with pro guys. And I always tell this story. You know, we had a young player, Travis Outlaw, that we had drafted. He's a high school kid out of Mississippi. And he was in the weight room one day, and Damon Stoudemire, he was kind of talking to Damon, and he said, you know what, gosh, my stomach's really bothering me today. And Damon said, what's wrong? He goes, you know what, Damon said, you got to stop eating that McDonald's. You know, that's killing you. And I was just kind of listening to him, and Travis said, I don't eat a McDonald's. I eat a Jack in the Box.
So, like it was better.
Yeah, like it's better.
One of the things that Ben and I have discussed on this show before, and it's kind of just, it's been something that I've actually asked a lot of BYU fans about what they think, is the athleticism of Kyle Collinsworth and how that transitions or how it compares to NBA players. Is he on the same level? Is he got some work to do? Where is he athletically compared to a good NBA guard?
Yeah, one thing that, you know, when I sit down and talk to Kyle about his game and playing at that next level, you know, if you're a point guard in the NBA right now, okay, tonight you're going to have to defend Russell Westbrook. Tomorrow night you're going to have to defend Chris Paul. And, you know, two nights later you're going to get a little break and you're going to have to defend, you know,
Damian Lillard.
So those are the kind of guys that you're going to have to defend. And, you know, for him right now, our whole focus last offseason was his rehab, just getting him ready to play in October. Now our whole focus has shifted this offseason into his skill development, his foot speed, because that's the biggest thing for him. You know, he's got to be able to defend those point guards off the dribble. That's a big thing. And his explosiveness. And NBA players make those plays, you know. And if we can transition from that, that's what's going to make him an NBA player, a professional player.
Let's also talk about Tyler Hawes. He's Kyle's going to come back, it seems like. I mean, that's the plan, right? Kyle's going to come back for his senior year.
Yeah, Kyle's been in every day. You know, he's in the weight room every day. He's in at 7 in the morning doing his thing. And,
wow.
You know, he's really bought in, and he's really wired into next season and what we're going to do. Now, with Tyler, that's been the great thing for me with Tyler, to pass on a lot of things to him, what's going to happen to him next.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times you get into this point in the season and, you know, guys are seniors and, okay, what do I do? Where am I going to go? And it's always that anxiety of what the next step is. So I've been trying to walk him through it, you know, this whole season. This is what's going to happen after you finish playing. This is what's going to happen during the summer. So to kind of break it down to you, it goes like this. You know, you sign with an agent, and usually that agent will pull you out of school.
Did you help him at all? Like, did you discuss who he should look for in an agent, what he should look for in an agent?
He had asked my advice on different agents. There's really three or four agents that have the majority of NBA players. And it's really about going with an agent that has connections. So if Tyler was my son, the agent that he signed with, Bill Duffy, is the best. You know, he's got all the big name guys, and he can really help him. So basically what happens is, once the season's over, you know, his agent, Bill Duffy, pulls him out of school, because Tyler will go spend probably 3-4 days in Santa Barbara. There's a facility there with physical therapists and trainers and stuff that he works with, you know, 3-4 days a week, and then he'll come back to Provo for, you know, the other 3 days. And then I'll work with him when he's in Provo. So basically from now until May 15th, he'll be doing that. Most guys will just stay down there. Tyler's in a minority because he cares about school. These other guys are like, hey, I'm out of here. I'm not even thinking about graduating or going back to finish classes. But Tyler comes back and does his school work because he's got graduation coming up. But he'll be in Santa Barbara, between Santa Barbara and Provo, until May 15th. May 15th and 16th is the NBA Draft Combine. I worked that, you know, when I was in the NBA, that every year in Chicago. So he'll go down there with, I think there's probably 60, 70 other players.
So he has gotten an invite to the NBA Combine?
I don't know if he's gotten an invite yet, but I would be shocked if he didn't.
Yeah. Where's his athleticism, real quick, Jan? You talk about being at the NBA Pro Combine. How do you think he'll test out? I mean, you've seen this young man in practice and also testing within your own strength and conditioning program. How does he test out compared to those other shooting guards?
You know, one thing that we've done is everything that happens at the NBA Combine, we test our guys in. You know, the vertical jump, max vertical jump, you know, lane agility test, all the same things that they do at the Combine, I test our guys in. So, for example, when a scout from the New York Knicks comes in and he talks about Tyler, when he's asking me about him, I can tell him, oh, this is how he compares to NBA guys, because they're doing the same tests. And it's great for me because I know all these guys, you know. And it's also good because I know what an NBA player is. If you've never worked with NBA players or been around NBA players, you don't know what they are. As a fan, you think, oh, boy, I love this guy, and he's an NBA guy. So it's been great for me to be able to pass that knowledge on to him. And so we have him testing in the same things that they do at the Combine. He'll go to the Combine. After the Combine, from May 15th, 16th, after he leaves the Combine, he'll go start working out for teams. And that will last about a month. He'll do that from probably May 20th to June 20th. And, you know, one thing I try to coach him on, what's going to happen next is you might be in Utah, for example. You're going to work out for the Jazz today. There's going to be 5 other players and yourself. And then tomorrow you'll fly out right after that, and you'll be in Sacramento tomorrow. And then 2 days later you could be in Charlotte. And I've just been trying to prep him for that, what to expect, and how to handle yourself.
One of the things I want to ask you, and this is more big picture, but again, we're talking to Bob Medina. He's the strength and conditioning coach for BYU, and the reason I'm pointing this out is your credentials. You've been with the Supersonics, you've been with the Trailblazers, you've been with UNLV back in their glory days. You've been all over, and you've seen a lot of the transition of what's gone on with college basketball, and we're coming off of, we just saw yesterday where Kentucky has 7 players going into the NBA draft. You have all these one and dones. I'm just interested in over the years, what's your perspective on what's going on right now with college basketball? And if you had your choice, and I guess coming from a strength and conditioning spot where you see their bodies develop and change, what would you do to I guess solve this whole one and done problem with the NBA and college basketball?
I think the NFL has it right. I think you've got to have a minimum age for guys to get in. I think that there's that maturity level of staying in college another year or so is huge. When you're getting these guys with the one and done, they're not physically or mentally ready for that step. There's a few that are, but the majority of them that I've come across were not. And so, you know, I don't know if you know it or not, but the average career of an NBA player is just under 3 years. Now you think, well, gosh, you know, Kobe's played a long time and Tim Duncan's played a long time.
Is that because guaranteed contracts happen after that third year?
Or it's just a fact.
Yeah.
It's just what it is. You know, because you sign a kid now, he's a first round pick. There's only 30 picks, first round guys that are guaranteed. Okay? If you're a second round pick, sometimes you're better off not even getting drafted. Because if you're a second round pick, it's a non-guaranteed contract. They can bring you to camp, but they've already got 14 of their guys guaranteed. They got their first-round draft pick who's going to get that next spot,
yeah. And
you're just kind of stuck. So you're better off not getting drafted because you can go to a team that has, hey, they have 4 slots open. Or I can go and look at Philadelphia has 5 slots open, so let's go to their camp.
Yeah.
So it's almost
that worked out for Brandon Davies.
Yeah, it actually did. Yeah, and he got to play with the Clippers, and he got to play with Philadelphia, and he got that NBA time. So
he got some NBA money too, which a lot of people don't get if they are that second round draft pick and then end up getting washed
out. People don't
out.
Realize how hard it is to make it in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
It is so unbelievably hard. Seeing guys who are All-Americans and, you know, guys who won national championships getting cut off teams. It's a really, really tough and competitive game. And the biggest thing that I tried to tell Tyler and I tell Kyle and all of our guys, college basketball physically is harder. It's a lot more the practices, everything you do is physically harder. Once you get to the NBA level, it's 100% mentally tougher. Because I've talked to guys who, you know, gotten to camps and, you know, I'm in training camp and I'm great and doing my thing and, you know, the head coach never even talked to me, never spoke a word to me. I was there 4 days and got cut. So it's tough. It is really, really tough.
We got to start wrapping up the show, Bob, but I appreciate you coming on. One last question. Tyler Hawes has turned down, I think, an invitation to the Portsmouth Invitational. Brandon Davies went there, tore it up, was MVP, ended up helping him in the draft. Any reason why Tyler would not take that invite and just focus on training?
The bigger one, Portsmouth used to be the biggest one. You know, Chicago is the big one now. You know, so I'm assuming that, you know, he's going to get an invite to Chicago.
Okay.
It doesn't really help his stock to do that. But, you know, Tyler's taking advice from his agent. His agent obviously knows
Duffy.
What the best thing is, and he's awesome.
Bob, you're the man. Thank you so much for joining us.